Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Recording. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
My sexy food fam, this is the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. This week, we're podcasting on site at Chef's Table Studios in Largo, Florida. Hey, Flutie influencers, if you're a culinary content creator in need of a space to film your delicious dishes, contact Amanda and get creating. Go to chefstablestudios.com. Our guest this session is Chef Gene Christoph Setton. This guy is a friend and he's a culinary animal. Today's topic, oh boy, it's bacon, bourbon, and social media. This is going to be like debauchery. Okay, let's dig in. But first, our sponsor this episode, attention chefs and purchasing personnel in hotels, restaurants, and country clubs. Paseki's Produce and Specialty Foods is your one-stop destination for quality, service, and a growing selection of specialty food products. I'm going to say service twice because I'm telling you, that's what you get. You get service like squared. It's awesome. Get with Brian and company. You will not be disappointed. Contact them on their website, farmfreshfl.com. All right. So let's welcome our Walk and Talk culinary contributor, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel, to the panel. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm fantastic.
All right. So look, we're going to just dive into this. Gentlemen, Chef Christoph, you with me?
I totally am.
Oh, man. All right. So first of all, let's just get down to brass tacks, right? Chef Jeffrey over here, he's opening up a restaurant. And it's going to be like, you know, meats and stuff. It's going to be vegan stuff too. I'm not holding that against them. Whatever. It's fine. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of protein, okay? A lot of action, right? So as we're sitting here, and those of us, and those who are out there watching this, we've got a decanter full of awesome bourbon, and we're having
as we should.
Oh, yes, my God. Yeah.
So this and there's bacon.
Yeah, you chef, here you go
on the freaking table.
Like, I'm letting him go first.
Of course. Well, I mean that's the polite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So, first of all, let's get with let's talk about that shirt, man. Right?
Which one?
I want that's
that. Talk about my shirt.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a ninja, and I'm looking at a cowboy. The ninja's saying,
"Yeehaw!"
He's saying, "Yeehaw!" like that, and the cowboy saying, "Yeehaw!" And what did you call that now?
It's inclusion.
I love it.
Same exact words, different cultures, exact same.
And that's what we have here today.
We're not all that different.
Nope, nobody's different. We're all the same for the most part, especially when you're drinking bourbon.
Correct.
And eating bacon.
I'm going to jump.
You know, that bourbon and the bacon combination.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Always does.
Oh, wow. Did you just throw that in there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Infuse it a little bit, you know?
Oh, okay.
Get a little bit of the saltiness and that savoriness into the bourbon. That's okay. Just yummy.
I feel like I'm doing something, you know.
Dirty?
Dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you usually
are. I say you're a mixologist now.
Look at you. Actually, this is, I got it. Somebody take a picture of this. Actually, I'm going to take a picture of my own phone. All right. So, listen, Christoph. So we all have bacon in our bourbon, by the way.
We do.
Just took like juicy, awesome, crispy bacon and just dunked it in the bourbon for those of you out there who can't see this.
Just FYI, it's 2 p.m. We need to take it easy.
Yeah, it's 2 p.m. and we should already be 4 or 5 in, but we're not.
Sunday.
What do you got going on, man? What's happening with you?
Gosh, so much is going on. I left the Buccaneers about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It was extremely amazing experience. And then I just decided to kind of go into the private sector, became a private chef, worked on Thumbtack, you know, that app on your phone, picked up a bunch of parties. And then somebody contacted me. They wanted me to be their chef in their home in Avila here in Tampa. And that's what I've been doing for 2 years. So, lunch, dinner, 5 days a week.
That's a wonderful life.
It
especially because we've talked about this in detail, and I kind of know what your schedule looks like and all that. It's pretty badass. But you know, you're doing this other thing with something. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Home Shopping Network,
Cuisinart, right?
And some other stuff. What's up with that?
So years ago, a friend of mine contacted me. Said,
"Can I get an autograph, by the way?"
Yes, for free too.
Okay.
Wow.
So he said, "Hey, a buddy of mine was looking for a chef to do some TV work, and you know." I said, okay, I'll look into it. It turned out to be Cuisinart, you know, the cookware, which originated from France, incidentally.
A bit difficult, so.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. So I started doing some work with them, doing some demos on HSN, some cooking shows. Met Amanda, who ended up being my sous chef over there. She's absolutely amazing. It sounds like difficult, but it really isn't, because by the time I show up, she has everything ready for me.
And she's
so
just
I really can't
camera.
Get any of the credit because I just kind of show up and talk for 10 minutes and I'm done.
And Amanda is just out of frame. She's right there.
Yeah, she's like right there.
And yeah, I think she's taking
And she's got kind of pictures. Just big, huge poop-eating grin on her face right now. she's geeking out on this as well.
Yeah, she is.
We're having fun. So what happens next?
So basically, continue doing this a little bit. And then more recently, I got involved with a company you may know of. It's called Tyson Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Another small company.
So Maiden Marketing handles their high-end beef and pork program. And I recently became their culinary consultant for them. I create content, blogging, do some cooking videos. I kind of act as like the culinary support for them. They really send out a lot of blogs about trends and what's coming up in the food industry, what they see coming being popular. So I've kind of like, dive into this and I kind of put a little bit my opinion in it, which I cook a little. I have a few things to say.
I think there's only one person who talks more than me. And that's you.
It's a compliment.
It is. I don't know. It's not a dig. I'm being honest.
I know.
You actually can get on more than me.
Very expressive.
I mean, I'm better looking, but you,
no doubt.
Yeah, no, I'm only kidding.
I can by a long shot.
You're the one, man. You're the one. You are scoring amazing gigs.
Indeed, I am. Yes, but again, we discussed this yesterday. I also started cooking when I was 13,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I've done. I'm 52 now. I've done
same story.
I've mm-hmm. done so much. Spend so many hours of my life in kitchens dedicated, never looking back, just pushing. And then, you get a little bit older and you start working smarter versus harder.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start looking, and I was very fortunate to just have good friends around me who just kind of offered me opportunities, and I decided to take them. You know.
Well, you know, our mutual friend, the gentleman who actually introduced us a while back,
yes,
Chef Lee,
yes,
you know, he. So your reputation is stellar in the Tampa market, you know, in this area here. Yeah. So I'm thrilled that we get to do stuff together. You were on one of our original walk and talk episodes.
I remember that.
And that was in the beginning. That was before we actually started getting into kitchens. What I used to do is grab the chefs, right? And I would just take them out for drinks and food. You know, we were going to
Jackson's.
American Social. Mm-hmm. Next to Jackson's.
Next to Jackson's.
Yeah. And they were cool. They let us set up in their PBR room and everything. Yeah, man. It was awesome. We had a great time.
We did.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we had bourbon at 9 a.m. too, so it didn't hurt either.
I mean, this is kind of a thing, man. It's what we do. It's part of the, it's built into the fabric of the show. It's what it is.
It does. Agreed.
And being in the industry that long, like looking back, do you have anything that you would have said to yourself, I wish I would have done it differently this way, or if I wish I would have done it that way? Like, what would you tell the young Christoph now, knowing what you know?
Probably, you know, I think one of the hardest thing to reacquire when you're that age, when you're young and you're starting in that industry, is your self-confidence, right?
Right.
You need to find a mentor. If you want to do something with your career, you need to find a mentor. And what that means, it means undivided attention and dedication and relentless pursuit of knowing more every day. And you're going to get your butt kicked. You're going to push and shove. There's going to be some tears. And at the end of it, you will achieve, right? You will achieve your full potential. If you lollygag about things, if you kind of hesitate, you know, I can't really do this, I can't really do that, the industry is probably not for you, because you can just be like, you know, shoved around, because that's what it'll do. You need to be ahead of it.
How in today, like today, we just, you know, we're post-COVID, it's like all kinds of weird things are happening.
That was me.
Real good job.
Yeah.
Good freaking job.
Smooth, bro.
There's a lot of things happening.
One every time me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, moving parts in today's society, right? And, you know, the three of us were relatively the same age. And look, in my category in the food business, I'm all about bringing people up, teaching. Here's literally everything that I know. And how can, you know, use it and run with it, and I hope you're successful, right? But how is it now, where a lot of the younger folks, the younger peeps, so
yeah,
I don't know that they're gonna run with it. Do we have to change the way that we mentor? Do we have to hold back? I mean, do we, you know, kick them in the pants? What do we have to do with these people?
That is a really, really good and hard question.
It's a terrible question.
No,
in its reality, it's a terrible question.
It is.
It's something that I know, me being a member of the American Culinary Federation, we kind of deal with this all the time about how do we get new membership and where we're going to go with this and how it goes to it. And one of those things that it's about is, you know, mentoring. As a chef, if you're not mentoring, you're not teaching. And I know off camera on the first segment, Amanda and I were talking about how there's so many gatekeepers and there's so many chefs out there like, I'm not going to give you my recipe. There's no food that's never been invented.
Correct.
Every food is out there already. We're just doing stuff like a escoffier and creme. They were doing stuff then. They created stuff. They created the mother sauces. They're the ones that gave us the potential for all these things we do. For us to be closed-minded and well, this is all mine. It's like we were talking, joking around, oh, this bacon, oh, it's my precious. No, it's not like that. We have to talk about why we're doing things, why things cook. You know, I was always the analytical one, like 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, why? How did you get there? And the same thing when it transferred over to cooking is, what is the Maillard reaction? What is the caramelization? What's the difference between that? And why would we talk about that? And then there's the correction. And then in today's society, God, I mean, it's a different mindset out there.
That's my point. Completely different mindset.
And I think it's because we're not mentoring the right way. It was always when I was a kid and growing up, I started when I was 12. So that was not me. Just want to let that be known.
We're falling apart here on the show today, but that's okay. It's a riveting content, so it's all right.
But I think for me, it's more of the only way to change the industry is we have to change how we got beat up through the ranks.
Yeah, you know, this has been coming up. I was reading something about David Chang, for example, you know, the guy up in New York over there. It was like...
Mama, fuck you.
Yeah, he was like...
Yeah, I said it.
What'd you call me?
Yeah, you're damn right.
What'd you call me?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
No, he was talking about, you know, is it really productive to scream and yell at people, to put that constant pressure, to be this physical threat to your people? You know what I'm saying? Because you and I, you know, we kind of, that's how we grew up.
I mean,
you know, I had stuff thrown at me when I was an apprentice, copper pots, you name it, stuff coming at you because the chef is nuts, right? I think the military approach, the brigade approach, is solid, right?
Oh, is that just because you're French and the whole thing was...
I think you have to have that standard. It's not because it's French.
But not every,
I definitely disagree.
I mean, you've been watching The Bear, right? The movie where they install that brigade
don't judge
system.
Me. I create content. I don't watch it, okay?
Anyway, so, you know, I think there's good and bad in everything. You cannot be too lackadaisical about...
Isn't that on Hulu? Which one is
that?
Yeah,
that's Hulu.
Because it's on something I don't have.
Yeah.
I just got to go.
You want my? I'll give you my password. You can go on Hulu.
And by the way, I can only watch one episode a month because otherwise I get stressed out.
You get PTSD.
It's a trigger.
It's like PTSD.
No, it's seriously a trigger for us that have been in the industry that have gone through it and seen... That, like you mentioned before, that dark side of the industry, that to me is the dark side.
When I walk into a restaurant and there's a wait and people are walking like out the door, I sweat. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on back there? I feel like I should throw an apron on or something. Right. Can I help? What can I do to assist you? Because, you know, clearly there's a bottleneck somewhere. Like, let's.
But I think, you know, there's also the addition of technology these days, right? Because when you and I were like apprenticing, there's the technology didn't exist. Like, everybody has access to everything all the time. Like, you know, you put a couple crackers, a piece of cheese, and a pomegranate.
Again, what are you saying to me? What do you call me? this is like a PG
show. I think
he
called you a cracker.
You call me
cracker.
I'll add to that, because think about this. Can you buy calamari that you don't have to clean it without the ink or without the cartilage in it?
They're all done already for you.
Shrimp. I mean, how can you get shrimp now? There's so, like 15 different ways to get shrimp.
And how many guys are out there cannot fillet a fish? They cannot butcher a leg of cow. I mean, it's like, those are the basics, right? I mean, although we grew up in butcher shops, so we're kind of like at an advantage. But if you start from the very basics, look at Lee. We're talking about Lee Aquino, the chef at the Birchwood and the Pier in St. Petersburg, right?
Yep.
I grabbed this kid when he was 20 years old. And put him through the worst 5 years of his life.
I mean, he looks like he's 45.
I know.
Now. I just want you to know that. He's probably 30.
No, he's like 40. What? He's 39.
No, he's not in his 40s. No way he's in his 40s.
He's reaching 40.
He's in his 30s, homie. I'm just telling you that.
Oh, wow.
He's got to be.
Wow.
If not, then he looks like he's 60.
Listen,
I'm kidding,
Liam.
I love you, baby.
This industry does that to people, though.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It's like side playing. It's a hard sport.
I think it is. I think those that look that way have that passion. You know, that determination, like you said before.
You care.
You know, when you, exactly.
You, somewhere in there you care, and that's why you're affected, and that's where
you need to have that genetic seed, I call it, right? So Lee came in, he knew nothing. And after 5 years, and his mother came at a Christmas party and told me, I am so thankful that you're teaching my son. I said, look, you can have the most beautiful rose. If you don't water it, it's nothing going to come out.
True story.
The seed is always there, but you have as a chef to recognize where the seed is, and then you have to just, you know, water it.
You know, it's amazing when you see, when you look back at someone's development, you know, like when you've seen them from, you know, from zero, and all of a sudden they work their way up to a 10, right? And you see that progression, and you see what they're able to endure. You know, because the reality is, the only way you're going to learn is by falling on your face. you have to get the crap kicked out of you in order for you to learn. I don't know that there's a gentle way of learning something. Maybe there is. I mean, I have to hit every branch on the way down for me to figure it out.
Well, you're old school. I mean, and we're all old school about that. I think when you're dealing with people that are coming up and out, especially with this generational gap between millennials and Gen Zs, we have to talk to them differently because we cannot beat them up. Like one of my mentors, a French dude, and I loved Campari. And I'm not saying because he was French.
Why did he
French.
Have to be French?
He was. But when you said pots and pans, I was like, I got knives thrown at me. I got pots. I got pans. I got everything whizzed at me. And I was like, good Lord, we can't do that in today's society.
You won't have
a staff.
No.
So in order to change the industry, we have to work from within to promote and figure out how we can balance that, do it my way or the highway without beating the living daylights out of the person.
And losing everybody around you. You know, I always watch that. I always equate, it's funny, I just was telling that to Lee the other day. You know that movie Batman where they have to crawl out of that prison with the wall, the one where they have to jump and everybody, The guy down at the bottom says, how can you succeed without the most basic fear, which is the fear of death? So they climb that wall with a rope. So they know that if they fail, they're going to get caught. And he says, you need to climb the wall without the rope. Because if you know that if you fail and you die, then you will succeed. That's exactly what it is. You got to go full on. If you don't go full on, if you can, then it's just not going to work.
Yeah, but I don't know how that translates in the same language today as it did, in any other prior generation. And it's not to say that, we're also looking at things from, 40 to 50 year old eyes too, right? So we're looking at these people who are green, absolutely green. And it's like, wow, because you already know the answers, right? We're looking at these people like, hey, look, wait, no, there's an answer for that. Don't do that. Do this. But they don't know. They have to get punched in the face too. And even though they might be a little bit, softer. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but it seems that. And I don't know if that's true, but it seems like that. I feel like, I think once they get slapped around a little bit by life, they're going to grow up quick from there. I think they're going to see things differently, perhaps.
I think I want to bring back, the point of technology because my youngest son is 17, right? And I think that when we were growing up, the only way that we were told was to work hard. Mm-hmm. Work, and you'll succeed. What technology has brought on is ways to be successful without using your hands. Like, I know a couple kids, they're millionaires, they're 21. They do stuff on YouTube, they do stuff on Instagram. All those avenues for success.
But that can't be everybody.
It cannot,
because we have to build stuff.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And people will always need to eat. People always need to go to a restaurant.
People always need a mechanic. People always need a plumber. People always need all the, an HVAC, AC, whatever. They need these things, but people are not running to it like they should or like they used to, mm-hmm. because everybody does want to be like walk and talk YouTube stars and stuff.
Of course.
No, but I mean, but the truth is everybody wants to do this. And you know what? And I was thinking about this just the other day. I was like, I wish I started doing, this whole content thing 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But 12 years ago, it wasn't to where it is now.
No, but 12 years ago, those cats who were doing it then, they've done, most of them have done really well,
yes, you know?
So here we are playing catch up, and this is actually a cool lifestyle. If you can do it and you have the means to make this happen and you can have a conversation in front of a camera or on a mic, it's kind of cool.
But you have to go through, in order to do that, you have to go through life's lessons.
Correct.
You can't put somebody who's just going to think about going to culinary school and saying, oh, I'm going to be a chef.
So, I'm going to say something because, a minute ago you mentioned, Christoph, you mentioned about, let me just jump in like this. I've seen some TikTokers and Instagrammers who are definitely very young, but they speak, and I don't know where they got it from, but they have wisdom. Like they're speaking from an older age than what they actually are. And I don't know if that's because, there's Google on their phone and they can, access anything at any time. I don't really know. Or maybe it's just the fact that there's so much content to be consumed that all these, maybe all these young guys are the smartest things out there. These young guys and
maybe
girls.
So.
Maybe they're so freaking smart and it's just like, and we're the dummies. Maybe we're the dummies.
And you have a good point. You have a good point because, you know, when I get involved with HSN, I get involved with, you know, doing Eat Clean Foods, you know, with Doru and all that stuff.
Sure.
Other projects with Cuisinart, with Frontignac. And, you know, Ballerini, you know, all those.
Can you say that again?
Can you say that again?
Frontignac.
Yeah, Frontignac.
If Frontignac we remember. Is
the cast iron line that I was representing at HSN.
I think in the last session, I mentioned that I want to hear you say that. Or it was off camera.
No, it was off camera. It was definitely off camera. Yeah, and she mentioned it and you go, I want to hear him say that.
And he did. I love it. Unprompted, unscripted. I love it.
So it's you know, you realize that now because of all those platforms, your reach is like gigantic. We were born without the internet. Remember this. So you can do so much more. There's so much good, positive potential with all that technology. But if you don't have the capacity and the content in terms of knowledge and knowing what you're doing, it's going to be a little, you know, somebody's going to watch it and brush it off. The real ones will stand out.
I agree with that. And I want to add, like, whatever happened to the Encyclopedia Britannica kid? The little, remember that guy? Mm-hmm. Used to sell him the ads on TV?
Yep.
I wasn't here.
He was in France.
I was in France.
He was apprenticing.
You were apprenticing.
I was apprenticing.
You were getting knives.
He was getting, he was getting
stabbed on the daily.
Hey, I had an English chef. This was like, and I might have mentioned this on another episode. I don't know, but I had an English chef down in Miami.
English, like from England?
Yeah.
You know, those two words don't go in the same sentence. I'm
whatever.
Just
so at the end of
especially to a French guy.
Right. I would have loved, you know what? It would have been great if you were there. But he was, it was like a JW Marriott or something down in Brickell. And he was a great chef. Oof, wow. Like he was that old school dude. And he didn't give a rat's patootie who you were. He was going to grab you by the collar. And like, I was a sales guy. I was young, a sales guy. You know, something happened when he's like, hey, Kyle, you know, yes, blah, 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 whatever the hell he was saying about something error. And he's like, you better get your ass down here now, whatever. Blah, blah. I was like, all right, fine. So I get down there. This cat, he grabbed me by the collar and brought me in. He's like, if you want to keep this account, mate, you better blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really?
Mate,
you know? He's like, but he had me by the collar.
That reminds me of Marco Pierre White. You know who he is.
Oh, God, yeah.
But no, it's not.
The
not
legend.
Saying,
love him.
He's I can say with assurance it wasn't him. But but this guy actually put his hands on me. And I'm thinking to myself, right, I want to keep my job, but I also want to punch this guy in his throat. You know, like, you know, how do you deal with this?
I got right? one. I got one for you. Ready for this? So one of our chefs in Palm Beach, who's part of the Chefs Association for the ACF, he takes a new job. And he goes, you wouldn't believe this. I literally went up to the servant. I'm like, hey, can you? And he touched him on the shoulder just like that. He got written up.
Really?
Because he touched the server out in the dining room. Really? And the captain saw it and took offense to it.
The server captain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And took offense to it. So this is the today that we're living in that we cannot even touch somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, I need you to help me real quick back here.
I mean,
yeah, I've heard that as a problem. But again, it's like,
at what level are we going to like
the one of the best
specification of America, I should say.
One of the best parts about working in a restaurant was all the touching.
of the food, you mean?
Wow. Yeah. No, he means every. We were talking about earlier what you did in the walk-in, and it was a whole bunch of different things.
How many times?
He left one out.
I left one out on purpose because people don't need to hear that. But
they know now.
No, they don't. They don't know. Nothing happened. You didn't see anything. No, but the truth is, like, you know, you'd be over at the at the computer and you're, you know, punching in an order, and all of a sudden one of your coworkers comes up and, you know, you all of a sudden you're getting an impromptu back rub. Like,
yep.
All right, cool. Like, who doesn't like
or
that?
Or they hip check you because they want to get in and they make you go out so that you're
the good old hip check in the cool. Yeah.
Bam.
Who doesn't love the hip check? I mean, what are we talking about here? And I get to put my hand on your shoulder, like,
yeah, seriously. Oh, I mean, this is what it's come to.
When I hear stuff like this, I, you know what? Let's just all pack it up.
I've been in situations where you know, you play pranks on each other, right? Oh, whatever it is, you know, I mean, white vinegar in your Coke or, you know, stuff like that. And somebody was like, you know, no, that's not true. People don't pay they don't play pranks to you on each other in kitchens. I was like,
oh my goodness,
where have you been?
Wow, what was that movie back?
Waiting.
That entire movie is true.
And it those are true.
Do you know where it was based upon?
It was like Bennigan's.
Hollywood Bennigan's on Sheridan Street and 52nd.
I am a Hollywood Bennigan's alumni.
Really?
Yes.
No, that place was
That, I mean, like every server, you would be like, oh, I know who that was. And oh, I know
Seriously?
That one.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, yes. God. Yeah. That was Ryan Reynolds' first like debut or Dan Cook or whatever his name was, too.
I think I did a 3-year stint over there. I talk like it's like prison. You know? I did 3 years at the Hollywood Bennigan's. Yeah.
The restaurant industry is like being in prison.
I will tell you, I had the best time probably in my 10-year food service career at that place. And it was awesome. In fact, on a Friday, it was a Friday night or a Saturday night. There was a station. It was like 20 tables in this area, and it was like a blocked off room. And I would on one of the Friday or Saturday, but I would get the entire 20 tables, and it would be me and one of the bus girls. There were two bus girls that were awesome, and I would get one or the other, and I would just run that whole section. It was all call parties. And I would do like stand up comedy. I would be all sorts of stuff. I'd get this table and that table together, and they knew it was going to be fun. And I made a crap load of money, and it was fun.
Right.
And then after work, it was like
you go to Shenanigans.
You go to Shenanigans, yeah. Or you go.
I
to,
work there.
Or you go to Capone's over there.
Oh yeah, Capone's Flicker Light.
Oh my God, those places are iconic in that part of town.
I mean, still, I have friends that go back over there, and they're always, "Hey, we're going to Capone's Flicker Light." I'm like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah, because those are Chef. This was the place that, like, you get out of work at midnight or 1 o'clock, and then you go to one of these other places, and
they were open
until
5:30.
Yeah,
Shenanigans was open at 5.
Yeah, and then you'd be at Capone's, and then you go back to work again, and you're same clothes.
Exactly.
That's like this was the life, right?
Yeah. Shenanigans opened up at 7
That's
o'clock in the morning.
That's what you do before you're 30, though, because after 30, it just gets a little harder.
No. You can't. Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Could you imagine doing that at 52?
Yeah, I mean, I can hang pretty good.
Do
still,
you remember?
I would still need a nap or two.
Wait a second. You got to think of it like this. When you were in your 20s, mm-hmm. and you ended up at a bar or something like that, and they, you know, hey, it's last call, putting the ugly lights on, whatever. But then there was like the old guy who was in his 50s there and by himself. And you're like, oh, I'm never going to be that guy. Right. You can never be that guy. You don't ever want to be that guy.
No,
I would never do that. Because I vividly remember looking at those old cats and saying, what do you think you're going to score here or something?
Yeah,
what are you going to do here, old guy? Like, what do you, I would never be seen.
You need to get out of that cycle, you know, like when it's the right time.
Right.
But again, our industry is, that's what, we appeal to that industry. You know, we people that have issues, we've talked about that. We go to bars after work. It doesn't matter where we're going. I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're having bacon and bourbon.
By the way, I just want to make mention of something.
Mm-hmm. You need more?
Well, not
I've
yet.
Got more.
I'm actually running a little dry.
He is. But what I've got going on here, just letting this thing marinate, mm-hmm. the longer it's sitting.
You taste it now?
It's freaking delicious. Right? Yeah. Whose idea was that?
Him.
It was the kingpin of the bacon cartel.
You're right. And I think that, you know, to go back to what we were saying about why is it, you know, and I know a lot of chefs that will be listening to us, you know, today, we all know it's hard out there, man. Like, you know, you got to create, you got to cook, you got to keep your numbers in line, you got to train people, you got to, you know, watch out for consistency, you got to watch out for cleanliness, you know, health inspection, the ordering. The mispicks, the this, the that. It's a constant
logistics, right?
Constant putting out fires, right? But I think that the ticket, though, is to really achieve that balance. You're going to have to be hard on people. But one thing that I have learned, and I learned it, you know, fairly recently, probably the last 10 years, people thrive on being recognized a lot more then they thrive on making more money. If you find a good guy in the kitchen, a good girl in the kitchen.
Which is terrible, by the way.
Which is. But, you know, to be recognized, to be commended for something you're doing right, balanced with discipline and balanced with, you know, like you know, firm guidance, you know, instead of just screaming for no reason, explain why you need to do it this way. I'm just trying to like save you the 10 years I spent making mistakes. I'm just giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to me, because you can go and try it again. You can try to rework it, recreate it. But I assure you, do it this way. Then you can build what you want on top of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the ticket. The industry is hard, you know, on your feet, 16, 17 hours. You know, I ran the Yacht Club, the Temple Yacht Club, for 10 years. It's a huge machine. It's 45 cooks in the kitchen. It's crazy.
That's a brigade.
It is a brigade.
Mm-hmm.
A brigade.
A brigade. So what I'm thinking is this, though. I feel like everything is too... We've gotten to the point where it's... Everything is spreadsheet focused. Do you know what I mean?
That's owners.
It's, well, it I is. Mean, I see the value. Hold on, wait. There's value to it, but it's not the owners. It's the CFOs of the world. You know, and no offense to CFOs. It's just, there's, it's too much. You know, you gotta loosen the grip a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, there should be so much, there should be terrific structure, and there should be mentorship, and there should be growth opportunities, and you know, ways to earn more money, and goals and milestones, all of that. But when your concept is strictly run off of what does the spreadsheet tell me, because it's not a magic spreadsheet.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's dollars, and that's you know, great. But what about bringing up the next generation of people? You need to have personalities, character. You need to, you know, feel like there's somewhere for you to go. And if it's only based on what is that last, you know, row of that spreadsheet tell you? Nah, man, I feel like everybody's missing a boat on that.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
No, I agree. And I've always said this. Look, you know, certain temperaments are meant to be allocated to certain industries. You know what I mean? You can be extremely cerebral. Like, I'm super cerebral. Like, I'm a thinker. I'm like I rehash stuff constantly. But I also need to get my butt kicked, like on the daily, physically, to feel balanced. Like, I need that everything that goes on in my head to be achieved with my hands. And I feel, and I release that, you know, that pressure, like energy, through my work. And those are the people that are meant for this industry. You know what I mean? Then you get the Food Channel, the Food Network, and all those things that people can watch. It's been romanticized. Oh, look at this guy. Yeah, but you're like, you know what? This guy's been going at it for 35 years.
Yes.
Yeah, he can do it in 1 hour what you won't do in 8 days.
And but, you know, to take that a little bit further, and you know, the Food Network, and there's a... They paved the way for the entire industry to really get, you know, to grow to like incredible heights. But I don't feel like it's real anymore.
No.
And that's part of the genesis of what Walk and Talk does. Because, you know, I want to focus on the chefs. You know, listen, at the end of the day, you know, the places we're going to are very high end and the chefs are very high end. But these are working chefs. These are cats that are putting in, you know, 15, 16 hours a day.
But Jimmy in St. Pete, remember? Yeah, what, 19 hours, 18
all
hours?
Anybody that we cover, they're all in that same category. And you know what? Maybe circles in the industry know who they are or whatever. But I feel everybody should know who these people are. And if one of these establishments is in your neighborhood, well, then damn, you need to, as a consumer, you need to know who this cat is.
Mm-hmm. You do.
And then you need to go there. And that's one of the main pillars of the show. Because everybody should be able to be a quote unquote Food Network type chef. Everybody, not just the hand selected few. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
And I think the Food Network, there's pros and cons to it. I think the pros, it did shed a light on in the industry in a good way. But the other problem is that a lot of these kids saw that and be like, oh, I want to be like Emeril. I want to be like, you know, Guy Fieri and all these other guys. But problem is it's only a select few that do that. One of the things you mentioned, Chef, earlier is how balanced you have to be. And one of the things I realized growing up in the industry at a young age, I would look at the chefs that did me wrong, quote unquote, did me wrong and treated me like I was a piece of junk. And I remember how it felt. And when I reprimanded somebody on my line, I did it in such a way that you weren't even realizing you got reprimanded. But when you did something right, I would throw that plate back up in the window and I'd be like, who did this? I want to know right now. And everybody just stopped.
That's right.
And they were like, oh my God. And then one guy's like, just really slowly going, I did. I go,
it's you, perfect.
Exactly.
It's perfect. Thank you.
Please show everyone how to do this every single time. And the amazing thing that you mentioned is that person now has buy-in. And we were talking off camera about Rene Rapenzi over in Noma. You weren't here yet, Chef. And I was watching an episode with Anthony Bourdain, and they were going over after the end of the shift. All the cooks would come out and they would experiment with their cuisine, and they were walking and they picked up a local ingredients and they made a dish. And this one cook did the dish, and everyone, even Renee, was like, this is fantastic. It's unbelievable. It's so balanced, the textures and so on and so forth. And Anthony Bourdain, being the American chef, going, oh, so you're going to put that on your menu, right? And Renee goes, no, absolutely not. This is his. We're trying to mentor him and his food and his creations to be at that next level. And to me, that sends a lot of the difference from what you and I went through, Chef,
correct,
to the chefs of what we need to be for tomorrow. We have to mentor that way. Yeah, we have to be rigid. We have to be strict. But in the same token, you have to be balanced to say to that chef or that cook, dude, that rocked. Whatever you just did there, keep on doing it. And you got to make a big production about it. I think that's the best way for us to get into this, out of this crap that we're in.
You're right. Buy-in is huge.
Yeah.
Buy-in is huge. If they feel like they're a part of the right side, they will work hard for you. And without realizing it, they're working hard for themselves and their future.
Well,
you got to foster that.
And if there's an effective way to communicate that particular thread, right? Because that vein gives that oxygen, the blood in that vein really gives the oxygen to the rest of your body.
It does.
It, because they don't understand yet what it means. They're looking at it like in a physical. If I pinch you, you're like, ah, that hurts. You know what I mean? It's just there on the surface. But they don't this goes much deeper. And if there's a way for us to educate them to understand that you need to get beat up a little bit in order to actually learn something, in order to do something.
Correct.
Right? Because you don't just get to watch somebody on TV say, oh, I'm going to go to culinary school, and then I'm going to be a Emeril or, you know, a Bobby Flay or something like that. It's not going to happen.
God love you if you do.
And you know, the other thing I wanted to bring up was there's an element that I've always believed, and it's, I think you will understand this. As much as you love to cook as a chef, you have an advantage. I tell you, so I go out with my wife.
I'm halfway there.
It drives her completely crazy because I show up and I'm like, you know, I'm not really that hungry, right? And I'm like, all right, one of each on the menu. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I want one of each on the menu. I want to taste everything. I want to know what they're doing. You know that you love to taste food because it fuels your creativity. Because, you know, of course, you can critique things. It's unfortunate because it's a curse a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you sit down somewhere, to give you a plate of food, you're like, oh, yeah, they messed that up, this could have been done this way, blah, blah, blah. But loving to eat is as important as loving to cook, in my opinion.
I think, so not only do I agree with you, but on the opposite, from my perspective, and listen, people out there, like casual diners, they want to go out, they want to try new stuff, but they're like, they always end up getting the same sort of food that they always go, no matter what, right? It's like they just stick with what they know. What you need to do is you need to go to an independent eatery and ask the waiter to bring the chef out. Not if it's busy, you know, don't expect this.
Thank you.
Bring out the chef and say, chef, send food.
Oh, Omasaki.
Just hit me. Yeah.
Just send the food, whatever you think, chef. And you're going to have the best dining experience of your freaking life if you do that.
Every time.
Every single time.
Agreed.
I think the other thing, too, is I think if we're going to represent a cuisine, I think we have to, like, go deep into tradition of what they're doing before we can actually end up screwing it up.
Yes.
And there's no other person probably on the planet that does a better job than us than Keith Saracen, who's a white guy that cooks Indian food.
Do we need to, you know what I think we need to do? And please, people, remind me this, because my memory is horrible. Can we start doing some workshops on our podcasts about the food?
Yeah.
Where does it come from? And why does that taste good with this? And why does that spice good with that protein or veg or whatever? Well, I want to get into some of that. And during the week, listen, we're all busy here. Everybody here does things, you know, aside from the podcast, right? We all have our lives and our livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
Let's like not forget this and talk about the whys and the hows, because I feel like that is so untapped.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving. Your partner in organization and efficiency.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, especially when you're dealing with a cuisine you don't know, Peruvian or
Indian, like or you Indian. Said, with
Sarah's, everybody yeah. thinks, you know, it's curries. He's coming soon. Actually, he's supposed to be here in December, but I think he's going to be here in March.
You know, many people still think curry is the spice. Curry is a dish. It's not a spice. Curry was invented by the English when they colonized India.
And tiki masala, butter chicken.
Curry powder is not a spice.
It's garam masala. And then, yep.
And that's one example. It's a simple one. But so much misconception. People, you know.
I have a great idea. When Keith comes, Chef Keith Saracen, I say, Amanda.
We can do it here.
Amanda.
Yes, Amanda.
We have an amazing chef who I would love to bring here and have him cook. And we could do a podcast and... Here, jump in here. Share it right here.
Sure.
I'll even take this off so we can like no be like kind of.
Yeah, where's your speaker? You forgot about the green room speaker.
Shut up. So what I'm thinking is we get Chef Saracen come here. We'll do a podcast, but we're going to do some cooking.
Absolutely.
And he's amazing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff he's introduced me to, and being in Miami and being in that Latin community, I mean, there's so many things that you get introduced to, and don't be afraid. Ask them about the culture. Talk to somebody. And experience the person's culture, because I guarantee you, when they cook for their culture, they're cooking from passion and love.
And real from quick, the heart. I want great. You to, and childhood memories. Flavor, sense, all of it.
Take 30 seconds, right? 20 seconds, whatever. And talk about Chef Keith real fast. Because I want Amanda to understand who this is, and also I want the you know, listenership or whatever to understand.
So Keith, he's a 4-time book author. He's also got his 5th one coming out called Jerk. It just came out, Jerk. He's got another one coming out, going to be Fermentation. He walked into an Indian market in New York and met his guru, and it was any type of movie you want to talk about. He went there every day to learn and to feed off of what she knew and how she was doing things. He sat there, and one day he walked in and it was washing rice. He's like, why do I need to wash rice? And she goes, leave. One day he walked in, he was chopping the onions wrong. And she goes, leave. And he goes, why? I'm chopping onions. You're not doing it from love. So his guru instilled on him the actual presence of mind about their culture, about the Indian subcontinent. And he has gravitated so much to it, and he does such amazing job doing it, that when Chetney, who just won James Beard Chef of the Year, mm-hmm. we were at Harvard, and somebody in the audience asked where he should eat in Boston Indian food, and they were like, "Well, don't eat. We don't know because they have a company called Unapologetic Indian Food or Indian Cuisine, which is fantastic. I love the name." But he called out Keith about Atma, which is his name of the restaurant, and he's introducing Americans to an American style, not even American style, an Indian style, but plating in an American way. And it's just an amazing, you know, his journey. He was supposed to go to India in November and it kind of got canceled and he's still going to do it. He's brought.
Did he just do a documentary?
He's filming a documentary. He's in the process of filming the documentary.
I think I saw like a.
Yeah. He put out a trailer and he's working in New York right now.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, here's for me, this is my philosophy. I mean, French definitely honed the skill of cuisine, but I think India is where the birthplace of cuisine started.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
Yeah, exactly. It's spice tray.
So I'm French. Everybody assumes every time I sit down, it's a 15-course meal. Everybody has.
But it's true. That's
you'll find me eating things that you don't want to know about. But anyway, especially after a couple glasses of this. But if anybody ever asks me, what is my favorite cuisine?
Indian.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
By a long shot. Indian cuisine is intricate. The spices, the way they handle the spices, the way they cut things, the way they ferment things. It's absolutely phenomenal.
It's funny because it's one or two cuisines when you ask a chef. It's either Indian or some sort of Asian cuisine.
Yeah.
And that's it. Nothing else. Yeah. Not Italian, well, not French.
They've been at it for a lot longer than we have.
It's my God.
Depth of flavor. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you look at, he introduced me to achar, and I've been doing barbecue for a while now, and achar is the Indian style of pickling. It's more of like a lactose fermentation salt. It's not the pickles we do here in the United States. And I literally was just, my taste buds were just going, what did you just do to me? And it changed how I look at things now and how I actually go about. I used to use yellow mustard to use the glue to hold the spice rub, whatever I was going to do. Now it's achar. It's simply just taking garlic achar.
I haven't had Indian food in a million years. Okay.
We need to fix that.
Well, so I'm, one of the reasons I'm excited about this is just by the nature of meeting him, I know that there's going to be some cooking going on.
Well, not only that, he introduced me to a Pakistani dish called hilam, and it's this crack wheat. So think of cream of wheat, and they just crack the living daylight out of the wheat, and they mash it like similar to like making mofongo. Mm-hmm. And then they throw in some goat or lamb, and they just layer it, and they just cook it in ghee. And I'm like, yeah, right? The dish is like 2,500 calories.
Coming to join you.
It's literally 2,500 calories. But this was, and he told me the story. This is the way when they went to battle, they fed their warriors so they can go for long stints of time so they didn't have to stop to eat. I mean, the wealth of knowledge Keith has, and I love the dude to death. I mean, Rome was saved by black pepper.
I love the stories
behind it. Right. And most people don't realize it. Mm-hmm. When the Goths were ransacked Rome, the Romans came and said, hey, listen, what can we do to get you out? They were like, well, we'll leave. And by the way, we want that black pepper. So Rome was actually saved by spice. And everything that you think of, how we touch cuisine and you look at cuisine and where cuisines come from, it's all back to India.
Where do I find that? Where is that written?
I'll get Keith to go ahead and send it over to you.
I would like to actually
see. True story.
Yeah.
True story.
I'm not questioning. I want to go further and see what that's
about. Yeah, I mean, food for him and I mean, I'm a history major at my first degree. I love history. I love where things come from. Again, that analytical brain. Like, who came up with foie gras? The Egyptians did. They noticed when, and this is 5,000 years ago.
He's looking at you with hate right now.
Oh, no.
Foie gras. I'm looking at him with, like, deep interest.
I mean, it was literally, they noticed when the geese were ready to migrate and they slaughtered them. They were like, well, wait a minute. And that's who really originally started. Honey. Same thing, yep. Egyptians. Yep. So there's a lot of cultures and a lot of cuisines that we really don't know. Like, I'm always going, who thought of, like, who looked at durian and said, ooh, yummy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah, I still no, can't. Yeah.
That's still a tough one for me.
And Costco sells durian now.
Yep.
Yeah, frozen durian.
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit's okay. I can eat jackfruit. I can play with jackfruit. Durian's a whole nother ball game.
You gotta dress it up a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta dress it up.
Well, yeah, you smoke jackfruit. It tastes just like pork.
Well,
if you treat it right,
it's custardy. If you can, you know,
what, durian or jack?
The jack.
Well, yeah, you got to get through that that viscosic starch that comes out. Yeah, definitely that. But still, once you do it, it's phenomenal.
But if you think about it, the opportunity we have these days, and that's the other thing technology has opened to us. It's like we can find about products, we can find about techniques. And if you already evolved as a chef, it just gives you more, you know, material to really kind of like learn, continue to learn, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, so first of all, I feel like there was some good chef synergies here. I want to get to cooking. Okay. At some point,
right now we've got bacon.
I've been letting this bacon just
go ahead,
marinate.
Taste it now.
I'm letting it sit in there.
You know, the smokiness kind of getting there.
Oh man. Yeah. But I can't wait to eat that piece of bacon. It's going to be so freaking good.
You know, it's like the milk at the end of the cereal.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. That's exactly what I'm
thinking. Chef Tosi with her cereal milk.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like every episode or two, we're talking about how we're going to get a bunch of these, you know, our chefs together and we're going to just have some fun. And I want to do that so badly. I want to get a bunch of our chefs together.
Marvin, too. Or here.
I want to get a bunch of chefs together and I want to cook up some stuff. I want to have a great freaking time, man.
I think we should do it at Marvin's because Amanda can play in the kitchen with us. I think here she's not going to play as much. I think and up there in Marvin's house, I think she would too.
So here's
I think she'd enjoy the farm.
Oh, look, I think the clubs
I'm fairly certain. Yeah. I'm fairly certain that if I get, if I put together something where there's 6, 7, 8 chefs or something like that, and we'll make a big shindig out of it, bring a couple of cameras or whatever, I'm pretty certain that, you know, Farm Fresh and Peninsula and the rest of the gang, that they're gonna give us some product to play with.
Agreed.
And I think we should just have a really good time.
Can we do it mystery basket style?
Yeah, I like that.
Can you say that again?
Mystery basket style, like the old days. You know, that's how they came up with the conception of Chopped, the television show. That's where it comes from. That was our job interview.
Yeah, that was.
I love it. Yeah,
I worked for a very famous chef, and part of my way to get my job is I was given a certain amount of time, I had to go in the cooler, and I had to make 3 courses, and that's how I got my job.
Well,
those are called working interviews.
Yeah,
remember those?
I think
free labor, otherwise, staff meal.
Wait a minute, time out, because I can't get anybody to do free labor here except for Jeffrey Schlissel. Okay, like Jeff is.
That's why he loves me.
I love you so much. You have no idea. No, but listen, guys, let's not forget about some of the stuff we talked about here today because I want to make all this stuff happen.
It's happening.
Let's do it, right?
Yeah, it's happening.
I'm definitely down.
All right. Chef, John, Amanda.
Chef.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
Chef Cubed.
Chef Cubed. Oh, my goodness. And the barbecue cat in the back there, John. All right, guys. You all do what you do best. I appreciate everybody. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this was amazing. Yep. Cheers, brother.
Cheers on the way out. Love it. We out. Bye.
I gotta get that bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun episode.
This was good, man.
Not yours back.
Oh, wait, great. What are you saying about it?
How do we do? Did I swear?
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs.
Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.